that's really, really hard, because when you know you got to keep going and you really can't stop and deal with the bag that you're dragging behind you, what do you do? Mm. You know, mm-hmm. What do you do?
Welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a show about adoption, foster care, advocacy, and becoming the best caregiver possible. Pull up a chair. We're glad you've joined us. Here are your hosts, Mike and Kristen Berry, with Nicole Jurgis.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. You're joining us for Season 26, Episode 229. My name is Mike Berry, along with Kristen Berry and Nicole Jurgis, and we are your hosts for this show. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by all of the confiscated candy that we've taken from our children.
Today.
Just today.
Just today.
Right,
so
before we hit record. Yeah, I have...
We are all...
Rainbow Nerds on my side of the table.
I have Skittles.
I have some Airheads.
What were you about to say? We're all what?
Oh, we're like on a sugar high.
We are. We're jacked up right now, you guys.
So we took it away and we were like, guys, really, dude, where did you get the candy? Don't do that. So we set it down and then we were like, I want some candy.
Did we say it like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't here. No, I walked in.
It actually
and there was,
wasn't bad, no.
And yeah. There was candy in here and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So to bring the listening audience into the loop here, we work very hard, both of our families, our family, Nicole's family, to keep our children from consuming red 40, yellow 5, high fructose corn syrup, you know it, or you name it. And mm-hmm. What do they usually go for?
Every time.
Red 40, yellow 5. Even though we say, yeah. Not buy this.
Well, they're getting older, and so we're trying to give them some freedom. So it's not like they never get it.
Yeah, they're old enough to...
Yeah, they can get it on
to start to manage it a little bit and mm-hmm. to realize that maybe, like, Skittles, Nerds, and Airheads would be a bad combination. Like,
and we've seen it play out as a very bad combination.
They actually are.
So they're good kids.
Sitting in the other room having a little portion of candy. So we don't totally keep candy.
Right, you can't.
We did when they were little because... The high fructose corn syrup and the sugar and the food dyes were so bad. You know, our kids are all old enough now that we can say, hey, that was too much that you just brought home from the store. But you can each have an appropriate amount of candy. And also, we just thought we would advertise for these companies in the off chance that they wanted to advertise on our podcast.
That's true. You can, you can advertise on the show.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, you can advertise on this show. We have about 40,000 downloads a month, 65 different countries around the world, mm-hmm. And a really, really loyal audience. So if you are looking to advertise...
And you work for the Skittles company. Oh.
Or even if you don't. I mean,
if you don't,
care.
Yeah.
Oh, and you work for wherever. I'm just looking for somebody with
She wants free candy.
It just can't be like massively off-brand. So, you know, if you're a construction company, this is probably not the audience for you. I'm just saying.
Elevators. We one time had somebody send us an email because they wanted to advertise elevators.
Well, they wanted
us
to do a blog post
about
elevators. And we're like,
elevators.
You did not.
We were like, I don't.
But they started the post by saying, like, I love the work you're doing. They even referenced specific posts we had done.
Wow. Yeah, it was a story that I wrote about being in the psychiatric unit with my child and riding down the elevator, I'm dead serious, with another mom whose child was in the psychiatric unit.
And that's the response we got.
They had, you know, whatever their keywords that popped up.
Algorithms.
They're like, I love the work you do. And I'm like, yeah, no, we talk about parenting.
You missed it. Missed the mark.
Oops. Elevators here, but you may want to call the psychiatric hospital because they have a very nice elevator.
It's true.
With nice people in them.
But seriously, send us an email at hello@honestlyadoption.com if you really are interested in advertising with us, because we do have ad space on here that you can purchase from us. So send us a message. And now back to the show, because man, that went off.
Oh, that was good.
That was okay. That was fun.
I think that's okay because it does.
Detour.
But, you know, this food dye that we're talking about, it's outlawed in other countries. Like
that's true.
Other developed
that
countries.
That is true, yeah.
And in California, when I was out there, they have warnings on anything with food dye that it can cause cancer. Other things like that. So it's not crazy. We know that this is linked to mental health issues. Just
that's
like
true.
Some people, yeah. if you eat gluten, you don't feel good. Kristen can't eat gluten. She feels awful. Yeah. Dairy makes you feel bad. Well, our kids just don't operate at their optimal mental health level when they are on food dye. So, yeah. I mean, that does kind of fit in with what we're talking about.
Right, because this series is called Pro-Human, mm-hmm. and we've been talking a lot about what it really means that, you know, that distinction, that pro-life distinction didn't mm-hmm. really work for us. And so we have had to, and why, if you haven't gone back and listened, go back and listen if you want. But the idea behind the pro-life movement is very pro-birth, mm-hmm. and what happens next. And so as we have waded through now 21 years of parenting, through what it's really like on the other side, you know, how do parents support their children well? How can children, you know, grow up in a society that really genuinely believes that they are valuable?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of led us to this series about what it really means to care for people well, to use our resources in a way that supports people well. And so while we did take a little veer there, you know, we are raising our kids in a society where food dye is legal, but it's not legal anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our kids are very often up against, you know, things that would help them to function at their optimal mental health.
So I think that, you know, for us as caregivers, mental health is a serious issue. It's a struggle, especially over the last 2 years. You know, I as we were talking before we got together to record this episode, one of the things, Kristen, you and I were talking about was that things feel really hopeless right now for a lot of us. I know for our two families, it's kind of, we're just kind of in and out of crisis all the time. I'm just going to say that honestly on air, right? That's the truth. Like we've kind of had a rough day to day. Things feel really hopeless sometimes when you're in the midst of crisis with your children. It's a storm. All you can see are storm clouds, right? It's hard to realize that, oh, the sun is still shining just outside of those clouds. You can't see it because you're smack in the middle of it. Mm. That's precisely why, like, you know, like through Oasis Community and Thrive, some of our other things that we do. You know, the other day I sent a message out to our Oasis audience that just said, listen, if you're feeling hopeless about your child, understand that there is hope and that you can't base your child's future on their 8-year-old behavior or their 10-year-old mm-hmm. behavior. Now, let's be honest, though, that's really, really hard when you're smack in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. As we all have been, we both have grown-ish children mm-hmm. that are not acting very grown at the moment.
And we have some kids that, due to different disabilities, and some of those being mental health disabilities or brain injuries, I mean, we don't know what their future is going to look like.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
You know, how they're going to handle adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So we're navigating that area, but we remember being back there in the 8-year-old days going, oh my gosh, this can't be it.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So I think really along, you know, when we talk about mental health, it is a crisis in this country, in the United States where we're at. It's a crisis worldwide. What are we talking about here? Like we're talking about hope, you know, being pro-human. So where do we need to land with this?
I think one of the things is just being realistic with the healthcare that's going on in America. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about this earlier. I've got a medication. I broke out in a rash with it. They've got to switch my medication. But guess what? My insurance won't cover that medication. It'll only cover the one that gives me the rash. So,
oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's not just, that's just healthcare.
Yeah.
And so when we are dealing with mental healthcare, and we've all come across this, is that some of our kids land on the side of not mental health care, but on the side of like a brain injury mm-hmm. due to abuse or something else that mm-hmm. was going on that happened to them. So it's more medical, mm-hmm. but it comes across as a behavioral mental health issue.
Yeah.
So there are two, what do I want to say? they're not mental health enough to be on that side, but then they don't have the disability part to help them get in with the medical side.
Yeah.
So like my son who has a traumatic brain injury, well, he can walk and he can talk and he can use his arms. So he doesn't qualify for any of the medical care that he could get, but he has a brain injury.
Right, right.
And that
right.
causes some behavioral issues. Not he doesn't have a behavior problem. He's not a mean kid. He has the kindest heart. He's the sweetest kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that does come with mental health issues.
Yeah.
But for years we fought to get him mental health care that covered, one, that would be covered by insurance, but two, that helped with what he was going through,
mm-hmm.
which is it's not like my kid just needs to talk through trauma. That's a piece of it. It was another piece that was his brain has been damaged,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't get that help. Because he could walk, he could talk, he could use his arms and legs. Mm-hmm. So I went to several traumatic brain injury places and called, even out of state, trying to find him some help. Nothing available for him. And I know that you guys have kind of dealt with that too, mm-hmm. because our kids look, like I said, they can walk, they can talk. Our sons are polite. Like when you first meet them, they are just... They're great kids. They have this shiny smile. Beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful kids.
Yep.
But when it comes to working or going to school or dealing with authority or living in a family situation, it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And so one of the issues that we have, you know, I can't speak for other countries, but here in America, is trying to get our kids help. While they're still with our family.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then they become adults. And then that becomes a whole new situation.
Right.
So I think, you know, we talk about being pro-human. One of the things that we need to think about is what's mental health care look like?
Yeah.
And how can we help our kids? And then we talk, you know, we've struggled with mental health care issues.
I mean, that's the thing. I think the more caregivers I talk to, and we interact with a lot on a weekly basis through some of our other channels. Mental health is a real deal. And mm-hmm. I think now more so than ever, caregivers are starting to step back and acknowledge that mental health is not just impacting my children. It's also impacting me mm-hmm. because we have a broader perspective of mental health. Mm-hmm. It used to be that mental health was looked at like, oh, well, that's the person that is, you know, running around without any clothes on.
Or hearing voices,
screaming, which those are mental health crises. Yeah, but it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. So I think we need to talk about hope. I want to give people hope in this area as best we can.
Nicole, I think that your child is a really good example because he has a traumatic brain injury caused by a physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that many of our kids have a traumatic brain injury caused by drug and alcohol exposure.
Right.
Maybe caused by a physical injury, caused by, you know, lack of oxygen, caused mm-hmm. by trauma. And even though your child's traumatic brain injury is a documented medical situation that happened.
Right.
Medical injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm trying to say that. You still haven't been able to find those services. And we're in the same boat where we have a child who qualifies for the highest level of services. And so when I read through that documentation and did a little more digging, those services cost $750 a day. So there's documentation that says that our child should qualify for this high, high level of services, which would be 24-hour a day care. But in order to have our child placed in that facility immediately to meet their needs, we needed to have a psychiatrist sign off. The psychiatrist said, well, this is a disability, not a mental illness, so I won't sign off on that. So we have a child waiting for the highest level of services with literally nowhere to go. And that's a child who, by documentation, by multiple doctors, by, you know, multiple neurologists. These are people who are doing their job,
mm-hmm.
looking inside of my child's head, documenting my child's behavior, doing that in-depth testing that takes days and days and days to do. Mm-hmm. We have paperwork that says this child functions at a 2-year and 10-month social-emotional age. We have documentation that says they need the highest level of care 24 hours a day mm-hmm. of someone supervising them. But one, you can be held up by somebody who just legitimately doesn't want to sign the paper.
Yeah.
You can be held up by the fact that the wait list for that is years long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or there's no services or no nursing. We've been waiting for nursing for our kids yeah. for years. I mean, there's nothing out there.
Right. Hmm. And these are people with actual documentation. So, you know, there's one step where we meet a lot of parents who are saying, I know that my child has a disability. I can see it. Mm-hmm. Or I know that my child experienced a significant amount of trauma. I'm aware of it. I see it playing out in my home. But I can't even get anyone to write it on a piece of paper. I can't mm-hmm. even get a diagnosis. The truth is you can be on the other side of this and... You yep, and I both have a know diagnosis. This. We have fought to get those things written down mm-hmm. on a piece of paper. And at the end of the day, it gets us nothing.
Yeah.
We get nothing. Mm-hmm. They get nothing. You know, even for our children who don't need those extensive services. I have a child receiving wraparound services through BEADS, Bureau of Developmental Disability Services. We can get two things right now. So thankfully, that child just benefits from those two things. Right. And it's been a really good and wonderful thing for that child. But when I compare it to what we were able to get for a child with, you know, documented fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, documented cocaine exposure before birth, documented malnutrition, mm-hmm. Documented childhood trauma, you know, who really did need constant services. You know, what did we come up with, Mike? Like 3 hours a week?
Yeah, I think that you was know, the
and
max.
And this was a kid who needed someone to have eyes on them all the time mm-hmm. because they yeah. literally have damage to their brain and their brain controls the whole rest of the body,
right. mm-hmm. including your mind. Sleep. Well, and including right. sleep. Our kids, we have kids with a traumatic brain injury yes. who do not sleep. And mm-hmm. so that's why we're saying 24/7 care, because they get to an age where they can get out of your house. They can leave their room.
Yeah.
And right. We're not into locking children up. That's mm-mm. not what we do. So 24/7 care is because
think we
you
can,
have
even if we wanted to, that's not
true.
Right.
Some right. of our kids,
but we don't.
They're smart.
We don't do
they're
that.
Smart
no.
kids.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is they need someone to be with them around the clock because yeah. we have children who the damage to the brain was so severe that it affected their sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have it documented. The doctor's like, it affects their satiation. Like they don't feel full. Mm-hmm. They don't feel full. It affects his sleep. And it affects another area that is, you know, for mm-hmm. him to deal with. I'm not going to put that out there. But these are issues that he's going to live with lifelong.
Yeah.
But we, you know, our son, we've worked through it. He's okay. We get through the night. We hear him upstairs playing. He's not trying to go anywhere at this mm-hmm. time. But there may be a time where he will not yeah. want to be in our home and he knows we're asleep and he can get out. So this is what we're saying by that 24/7. So it's not like we're being overly dramatic. The brain right. injury is noted yeah. to affect that area and right. they do not sleep sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there are some, you know, issues here. We are a parent-to-parent podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a good moment to remind listeners that this is parent-to-parent conversation. So
yeah.
it is very helpful to listen to adults who, you know, have experienced childhood trauma in mm-hmm. the foster care system to talk about what that feels like inside of their own brain. It is very helpful to listen to understood.org is a place I always send people. They now have a podcast also.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You know, and a lot of times they have people with ADHD, you know, with neurodivergence talking about what that feels like. So I want to make the point that we are not trying to describe from our child's perspective what that feels like.
Mm-mm. Correct. Yeah.
This is parent to parent.
Yeah.
So as a parent, you know, staying up all night listening for a child who may make a harmful choice in the middle of the night, may wander off, may, you know, eat too much food and throw up. I mean, those are some, you know, kind of real things. May harm themselves or someone else. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about what we can do from the parent's perspective. Right. And we also need to talk a little bit about what that feels like to a parent. Mm-hmm. Because while we're trying to find these services, while we're gathering, you know, all this information, while we are advocating for our child, we are often feeling the toll mm-hmm. that takes. That is not to say that our children are a toll. No. The toll of the mental health care system
right.
mm-hmm.
is, or lack thereof, can be extremely defeating. Mm-hmm. And I think that for many of our listeners, I think you're probably nodding your head too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You often get a response, well, just get respite. Just get wraparound services.
It's just not that easy.
Just get beads. Just get...
We have all of those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we get nothing. Because right. there are no service. There's no nurses. There's yeah. a nursing right. shortage. Why? They're not being paid.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because our mental health care in America, it's not there.
Because it's not the priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, how does this play out in everyday life? You know, if nursing were really a priority, if, you know, if the resources were there for nursing... Families like both of ours would have had nurses in our home
mm-hmm.
since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And how different would our lives as parents look if we had that type of support for our mm-hmm. children? We've often said at the level of care that one of our children qualifies for, this mm-hmm. magical thing that's not really out there. Could you imagine, you know, if those services existed, what mm-hmm. could people like us with creativity do with $750 a day? Oh my gosh. I mean, we could hire really good people
yeah.
to mm-hmm. to yeah. support our child in, you know, living in our home. In
mm-hmm. with the whole family.
Walking to the grocery store, mm-hmm. in getting to work or to school, in transportation, mm-hmm. in... you know, calming resources, weighted blankets and
yeah.
swings and occupational therapy. I mean, I can think of ways to spend $750 a day. So, you know, there's this discrepancy. Someone might Google real quick, like, what's the highest level of care? Well, $750. I don't know why the Berries don't just
right
have all the support they need.
We don't see that money because they right. don't count us as caregivers. Here in Indiana, we can't get paid for our children. I know some states have said that because they can't hire anyone. And so some states right, have said, right. hey, if you're the parent, we'll give you that money and we'll pay you.
We'll hire a parent
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, we have to work.
And a lot of people identify with that. They're like, they're trying to yeah.
right.
balance
we're
work.
We're trying.
And, yeah.
You know, and so when we're talking about mental health care, you know, one, it doesn't exist for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if those things were a priority in this culture, we could maybe see a lot more support within the home so that parents can do the things that parents need to do,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for our children. We need to be focusing on building trust. We need to be focusing on bonding and connecting. We need to be focusing on family relationships, mm-hmm. including, you know, biological family members. Mm-hmm. We truly believe in keeping connected. You know, so we've drawn in a whole bunch of other relationships. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we had the support somewhere else where we could use
yeah.
our time
mm-hmm.
To really be in healthy connection with
right.
our children. Well,
yeah.
Those things don't really exist as of now. And so that takes a toll on parents' mental mm-hmm. health. And so we want to talk a little bit about what that has felt like for the three of us
mm-hmm.
To try to maintain positive and healthy mental health while really, you know, caring for our children with lack of support.
Mm.
I guess that's probably
yeah.
the best way to do it. Caring for our children has been a ton of fun. But it would be really amazing if we had some support at night for the kid that can't sleep through the night or for the child that can't ride on the school bus or
yeah.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that raising our children is defeating. It's working, functioning within these systems.
Right.
Where
right.
we start to feel like a failure. Or at least that's me. How have you felt, Mike? Let's start with you. Just, you know, how does your mental health feel in the midst of trying to navigate some of these things?
Well, defeated is a good way to put it. Although I don't want to use the word defeated because, you know, you both know me. I'm kind of a natural, like, pull myself up by my bootstraps and let's roll with it, man. Let's do this. But I think the best way to describe it for me is, and this sounds kind of odd, but like functioning sadness, you know? It's, you know how,
I'm going to write it down. We're going to use that later.
Yeah.
Can you write that down for me there?
Functioning sadness.
Thanks.
Functioning sadness. And here's what I mean by that. Like I'm a high achieving person. I have never been the type of person that, you know, we've talked a lot about the Enneagram, and I know, Kristen, you've wrestled with, and I don't, which number is it? I'm always
one.
Confused. You're one. And I don't know, what number was I?
I think you might be a three, but we're going to have to explore that a little bit more.
We're going to have to explore that later on, another show. But like when you described, you know, being a one, ones often continually live with that voice that's telling them you're a failure, you're not going to succeed, you're doing a terrible job. You're doing a terrible job. And when you asked me, do I hear that voice? And I'm like, no. The voice I hear is, I bet you're not going to succeed. But I hear the voice that says, this is really hard, and I don't think you can do it. And then my response is, watch me, right? Huh. So that high achieving characteristic is ever present with me, but I have to function, but in the midst of this, I feel like, oh my gosh, there's just a sadness in me, sad about this mental health crisis we're in, sad about the choices my children are making at times, sad about, you know, all the unreal tragic things that are happening in this country right now and in this world, right?
God, yeah.
Everything from political to social to, you know, all of the racial inequality that we're watching unfold before us, right? There's just like, it's been happening for me for the last 2 years, the best way I can describe it is a functioning sadness. Like, I have to keep moving, but at the same time, I feel like I'm dragging a bag full of rocks behind me, you know, like that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really hard because when you know you got to keep going and you really can't stop and deal with the bag that you're dragging behind you, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. What do you do? Because if you quit, there's too many, you know, balls up in the air that are just going to start dropping. That's the hard thing for me. So I don't know if that really answers it, but that's really how I would define it. For me,
it's good to be able to define it and put some words to it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually surprised myself there because as you asked that question, and I was thinking, how do I say this? Functional sadness came to mind. You know, mm-hmm. It's hard. It really is.
Winters are hard for me.
Welcome to Indiana.
And we came out of a really long winter, and my husband recognizes it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he wants to move to Arizona someday. And I'm like, dude, we may be with you on that one.
Arizona sounds good.
I've been scoping out Tempe and Tucson. I'm like, y'all know how to do it down there.
I get frozen.
Yeah.
I do have that functional sadness, but I also am like, you know, screw it. What's the point?
Yeah.
And so I can get stuck and I can get frozen, and it can lead to a depression, mm-hmm. especially during the summer. Cause like the sun, I'm out, I'm going, let's go.
Yeah.
And we can deal with it whenever, but I have a child with a disability. And so like winters were always hard. She, you know, going out in the cold, we just couldn't go out and play mm-hmm. in the cold air. Like bundle your kids up and get outside. No, I can't. Extreme heat. I can't with my daughter who mm-hmm. is really sensitive to temperatures. And so that kind of went over, cause we're a family and mm-hmm, I don't just leave my daughter at home and she qualifies for nursing services, but there aren't any. And nothing's worse than saying, well, bye, sweetie. We're all going to go outside and play, because here in Indiana, mm-hmm. your caregivers can't take your child. They can't go outside of the home with your child.
Right.
And so I was
right.
like, well, I'm not leaving my child at home mm-hmm. with her nurse while, you know, we go gallivant around Indianapolis.
Right.
So it gets really hard. So I get frozen.
Yeah.
And I get the no point. Mm. I mean, I think you can find my butt cheeks in the couch where I sit, and I just let life go on around me.
Yeah.
But I function. I mean, I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Still have to cook dinner, have to clean the house, have to do the laundry. But I mean, it is dragging, and yeah. it is done last minute.
Yeah.
And it is done a lot slower. And so, during those times where I would just, and even going out in public sometimes would just be a hot mess mm-hmm. because I was dealing with there are five, and dealing with just too many balls in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I felt like a failure when I would go out in public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times I sit at home, feel like a failure mm-hmm. and just kind of freeze.
Yeah.
And, there was a movie, like a mom's night out movie. Do you remember that from like a long time ago? It had, trying to think who was in it. Sam Wise from.
Oh yeah. I think it was just Mom's Night Out.
I think it was. Or anyway, something. She's like, sitting.
Scarlett Johansson or something like that. No. Or was it Maya Rudolph? Or I'm thinking of a different movie.
It was kind of like a Christian film. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting in her closet, and the way that she just described mm-hmm. how she felt as a mom is kind of how I dealt with stuff. Like,
gotcha.
I'm just frozen. There's too much to do. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to sit here and not do it. And so I get into those positions mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I deal with it. And I'll talk later about how I deal with that so I don't mm-hmm. get to stay there, because I don't. And I've been lucky. I've been lucky, and I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that there is a reason why my marriage hasn't fallen apart and people have not come to take away my children because I don't care for them because I'm sitting on a couch. There's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I feel during a lot of that, during a lot of that time. How about you, Kristen?
Kristen, how about you?
Well, I do tend to hear that kind of voice in my head that says you're not doing a good job mm-hmm. and you're terrible at this and you shouldn't have, you know, ever been a mom. You're a terrible mom. So that's something that I'm battle with anyway, mm-hmm. without spending hours on the phone trying to find, you know, a habilitation provider for my child or trying to get the school to work with me on an IEP. So, you know, that, you know, tends to really magnify that already feeling that I have, you know, when we're waiting 6 months or 12 months to try to get into the developmental pediatrician.
Why don't you have your kid in services if you know he has this disability?
Exactly. Like,
oh my gosh.
Is he seeing anybody? Does he have a therapist?
Oh my gosh. So, yes. And so then you start to do your finances. Like, in order to get, let's just talk about just specifically mental health care, just to get a therapist, mm-hmm. You know, to go through your insurance, you know, our kids have traditional Medicaid because they were adopted from the foster care system. We currently don't have private insurance, and that's the way that our country functions. And so, because we don't have a job that provides health insurance for us, we go with traditional Medicaid, which typically is actually pretty good for the amount of times mm-hmm. we end up in the doctor's office or getting stitches or something. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But to try to get mental health services is a whole different
nobody
issue.
Accepts, nobody
they don't
accepts,
accept it. No. And if they
don't
do,
pay anything.
Right. And then if they do, you can get in with a therapist, you know, once a month, but then that therapist
isn't there next month.
Right, leaves the practice. And so it's really so very true. Difficult when you're raising children who have experienced loss and trauma mm-hmm. to, you know, that's not an effective way to build a mm-hmm. relationship with someone. So for us then, to find those services and pay out of pocket, that's very difficult for my kids. And then to look at myself and recognize within myself that I need to talk to someone also. I need to have some strategies to use for myself. I tend to cope with some more obsessive compulsive behaviors. And so I need the therapist that very kindly says, I want you to rethink what it is you're doing right now. Is that a healthy coping skill that you're using? You know, but, you know, to find somebody good, that is to pay out of pocket. And, you know, for what it's worth, for people listening in, for me, that's $150 an hour. Yeah. For my kids, that's between $115 and $150 an hour. So, you know, I'm now working another job on the weekends. And that money, like, as I'm working, I'm counting up what I'm making and how many of us can go to therapy the next week. And so that's the reality about getting the services that you need for your family. So, yeah, I would say that knowing what our children need is a big step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then that feeling of not being able to provide your children the thing that they need, whether that's wraparound services, occupational therapy, developmental therapy, you know, a school that is trauma informed, you know, as we're just kind of just thinking of those mental health issues, knowing what our kids need and knowing what a qualified person would look like, that is a good big first step. But for me, then it can feel very defeating to know what they need and not be able to find someone.
Absolutely defeating.
So what have you guys done to battle that for yourself?
Are we going to go in the same order again? Is that the best way we want to roll with this? Yeah. That's good. This is good. This is really, I have to say, for me, this is therapeutic just to have these kind of conversations. We don't have this. We don't take the time to have these conversations very much. Yeah, and of course, we're sharing with the whole... Well, you guys do. I know. I guess I do. Johnny and
There's approximately 45 minutes while our kids are at dance on Tuesday nights.
Oh, okay. So. Well, Johnny and I do. We just did that recently,
And French fries and a milkshake cost a lot less than $140 an hour.
We are really opening up our world to that, to everybody.
No, I mean, here's what we do. That was what I was going to say. I mean, so yes, I think that there is a place that is absolutely necessary for our children and for ourselves to have a trained professional therapist. And since we can't do that to the extent that any of us need, our kids or ourselves, it just doesn't exist right now.
Right, right.
And so while we wait and hope for those things to be a reality. I mean, in reality, I should probably talk to someone once a week. My kids should all talk to someone once a week. But while we wait for that, there are other things we can do. And the truth is, that's a big one for me, knowing that on Tuesday night, I get my junior-sized chocolate milkshake and we share a plate of fries and just like pour
it
out.
And we are their favorite moms.
They say it every time.
Is this at babies?
This is at babies. We're their favorite moms. I'm pretty sure they think we're together.
They're like, our favorite moms are here.
That's happened.
That's happened a lot in our family. But
I'm wearing, wearing my pride shirt right now. Happy Pride Month.
Our favorite moms are here. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me all week. And that's really saying something because I'm nobody's favorite mom right now.
And a little free advertisement. You guys heard me say babies. People were like, what in the world is that? Babies, Babies Indianapolis.
You heard it here.
It's an amazing restaurant. It's one of our favorite restaurants.
Yes. We're just going to start advertising for people.
People are like, did you mention me?
We did.
Yes, we did.
Babies. Yes, if you're listening.
Come to Indianapolis.
Come to Indianapolis.
Maybe you'll see us at Babies. Well, maybe you'll see you guys at Babies.
Oh, I think we should just start advertising for all our favorite places in Indianapolis.
Oh, we should,
Babies whether people like it or not.
I know.
Babies is one of our favorite places to go. Like, we feel like we're cheating on them because we will sometimes go to another place. We'll talk about that place later.
We'll save that advertising slot for another time later.
There you go. Johnny and I went to Joe's Grill, which you guys went to like the week before that. And it wasn't it voted
cheap.
Like it is super cheap.
I'm
serious. Like,
beer here.
I think our total bill was like $15. It was like, what in the world is going on? And that was voted like best dive bar in Indianapolis or something like that.
And we could hear conversations going on all around us. So it was great for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am a people watcher. So I was like,
what's going on? Look at this guy over here.
Right. At least my problems aren't as bad as his. Therapy.
And then I get to Tuesday night. Yeah. So
yeah, for real.
Seriously.
No. So I think that, you know, there is a place, and definitely keep pushing for those services, for professional services. Yeah. In the meantime,
what are we doing? What are we doing?
You know, what I do is I meet up with my friends. And sometimes that's really fast. Sometimes you take what you can get. You make a phone call. You meet up while the kids are at dance class. But, you know, that's one
that's
way that I get through
days
it.
For
it's
both
very
of
hard,
us,
yeah.
We're like, we didn't want to come. And we're like, but I know that I'm there for her. So sometimes if I'm like, I just don't want to go. I just want to sit here and be like, bleh. I'm like, but my friend's counting on me. She needs me, and I'm a server. So I go. And then I'm like, I needed it. I needed it.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think sometimes she has to do the same thing. Like, I know she didn't want to go out, but I knew she knew I needed it. So, you know, just doing that, and it makes us get out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about parenting, you know, and so we did kind of want to talk about ourselves, you know, what we can do and encourage parents to do, but it's the same for our kids. And so, you know, while we wait in those spaces in between what we can afford or what we can get through our health insurance, we have to be intentional about creating those spaces for our kids too. That Tuesday night for us, the two of our kids that go to dance, sometimes it's, I'm not going.
You're like, oh yes, you are.
Well, one, you're going because I'm getting my fries and you're not coming.
and I paid for it.
I will eat these in front of your face.
I paid for this class.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, but, in all seriousness, the big reason for dance for our child that goes, the teacher loves them. And I mean, just my kid could be having the least likable day and walks in there, and that teacher makes them feel like they are the star student of dance class.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that too. There is always, always a need for that professional mental health care. And then in the interim is the rest of life. And that's where we, you know, connect our kids with other kids who are experiencing the same thing, healthy friendships, adults who love them unconditionally. And so, you know, that's, for me, that's how I get through those times where I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. I'm doing everything wrong. You know, somebody who's smarter and better at this would have found occupational therapy services or would have gotten another job, or, you know, somebody else would have figured this out. And then I have my moment with my friend. My child has their moment with their dance teacher.
Well, and our older two kids get together and they have this moment of independence because moms are leaving, and they have the house to themselves. Yeah. And sometimes they'll go and walk and get ice cream with their own money. And like, my
love
child
it.
Is a different person when I come back for hanging out with your kid.
Just being, and it's so much that. I mean, they both were adopted. They both experienced foster care. You know, maybe they never talk about either of those things. Maybe
probably
it's
not.
Just, I saw a cute girl. Let's walk over there and order some ice cream and wave. You know, I don't know.
That sounds more accurate right there.
With our shoes untied and my,
oh my gosh,
my shirt on backwards.
Dirty clothes on from yesterday that mom already told me to change. But I think there's, you know, there is that piece that as we're thinking about what mental health care really means, do the systems need to change? Yes. Do we need access to mental health care? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we absolutely do. And then at the same time, our culture has moved so far away from those connected relationships and from the sitting down across from each other and talking and having a meal.
Yeah.
And we can provide those things for ourselves. And then we can also provide those things for our kids so that they can experience what it feels like to just have a true unconditional friendship, or to have somebody who just gets them. And we can really be intentional about creating those places for our family to get some of that mental health care in a natural way, just the way that I think we were created to be as humans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Am I supposed to say my thing too?
Like, I think guys would connect, like, what do you do as a guy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Now, personally, I'm an early riser. I get up real early in the morning. I have a routine there that really helps. I do a lot of reading. That's a recharge time. Nobody's awake. Typically,
he takes great pictures of sunsets early in the morning because I'm not getting up that damn early.
And here's the thing. It's so crazy. What you just said is crazy. My mornings are so amazing that I take pictures of sunsets in the morning because you just said sunsets.
There are sunrises.
But
listen, I'm not up that early.
That's how amazing my mornings are.
Right.
My mornings
are
so amazing. I catch the sunset and then the sunrise.
Hey, just in kidding. Indiana, we do it backwards.
That's right, man. Everything's weird here.
It's so damn
I'm kidding.
Flat.
I had to say that.
At the same time.
I had to say it. That's
you
true.
Probably
on
can.
Our farm, you can. I mean, you watch it. That's part of the. Yeah. So
flat.
I do that in the morning. But I will say this, like, you know, you talk about for me as a guy, I value the relationships I have, relationship with Johnny, relationship with Ryan, who's our other friend. We have a text thread that's constantly blowing up. And then my friends Andrew and Jason, who I co-founded Road Trip with, and they have become, you know, some of my closest friends in the world. Those two text threads are life giving, mm-hmm. because on those really dark days, one of us will send a text out, you know, and it is just I am struggling, and then it's sometimes a long 3-paragraph mm-hmm. text, and it's just nice to know that you get all these messages back. I'm holding you up, bro. I got you, bro. That's hard. I've been there, you know, or just a little cry.
Don't you also
emoji.
Have like a contest for worst father?
Do we? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We do.
Who's Listen, winning this? Who's winning?
The rule of thumb when these text messages really start going is, all right, everybody delete. Delete the thread so nobody picks up your phone. Like, what the world? So I will say that, like, that has been huge for me. And here's the thing. I mentioned Andrew and Jason and I founded Road Trip for Dads, which is an event that we lead every fall up in the mountains of Colorado Springs. You can learn more about it at roadtripdads.com. We have registration open right now. Send your I know. Hey, we have a lot of requests right now. Roadtripdads.com. You can learn more about that. Send your guy up the mountain with us this fall. It's really life-giving in so
it
many
was,
ways. But
it was for my husband as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. So that's really that connection. And I will say this, like, we're not all like Andrew and Jason are in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And then all the other guys that are on that text thread too. So we have this technology right now where you can connect with others. And if you're in this place where you're thinking, I don't have this kind of relationship, you know, like mm-hmm. you and Kristen and Nicole, Mike and Johnny, Andrew, Jason, I don't have that kind of connection. You know, the reality is the online space is a really valuable mm-hmm. place. We created Oasis Community to be a place where you can connect with other caregivers. I'm going to drop a link for a 30-day trial in the show notes because that's what that's created for. You can jump over to that, click the link, sign up for that. But join us for roadtripdads.com. I mean, I'm kind of shamelessly promoting right now, but the reality is,
it's a good connection.
It is. These places exist. I think they exist for our mental health, mm-hmm. you know, to help us in those dark moments. And we have a lot of dark moments, you guys. I believe that there is hope. You know, we mentioned that earlier, that we wanted to bring it back around to that. You know, and that's really, I think that's where we want to land with this.
All right. So the last question is, what are you reading? What are you listening to? And who are you following?
Okay.
Let's start with you.
Yep.
And in the interest of time, so that our son is at soccer practice on time.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll just do, let's do all three.
Okay.
So I'm still reading 1619 Project, which I've mentioned the last 2 weeks. It's very, very, it's a thick book, very deep, very thorough. I'm not really listening to anything new on Spotify. What was the other thing? Who am I following? And I don't think anything's changed in terms of who I'm following right now.
You're supposed to highlight someone you follow.
Yeah, choose somebody cool that you, not new.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to have to pass on this one right now.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Kristen.
I'm following Moms Demand on Instagram. And they are, you know, they are the ones who are really educated and knowledgeable about gun violence. And so I follow them and take direction mm-hmm. from them because it's a problem that is larger than I can fathom, but rather than throw my hands up and say, this is too much, it's too much. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to engage with the work that other people are doing. And so Moms Demand is who I'm following. What am I reading? I'm actually reading Everywhere Babies by Susan Meyer and Marla Frazee because I was just taking a tangent down banned books, you know, and finding out what's banned and why, and people lost their minds about this mm-hmm. book that's for babies, and it's super beautiful. And, you know, so I heard that was banned, so I checked it out, and it's great, so I bought it. And our two-year-old is very into it, so I now know Everywhere Babies by heart, but it's great. So I highly recommend it. And what I'm listening to, I'm still listening to How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. It's very good.
All right. I am following a creator on TikTok called Dara Star Tucker. She is a creator. She sings. She does a lot of history, which I love if you know anything about me. She just does a lot of different stuff on her page. Love her. I finished The Wrong Family by Taryn Fisher. And I'm getting ready to go on vacation, so I'm not reading anything right now. But I did read, like, because it was just sitting up there and it fell down and it reminded me to pick it up. And I love to read it because it reminds me of times of kids that we've had. It was The Open Doors by Kristen Berry.
Keep the doors
Keep
open.
Keep the doors open. Like, I pay attention to what the name of the book is called. You're I know the author.
I actually can't She's only ever your remember best
friend.
The name.
She's only your best friend. I don't know her book titles.
I never remember the name. Okay. There's like a tagline, and yeah. I don't know what it is.
That's true. I can't remember taglines on like Winning the Heart of Your Child. I'm like, wait a second, is Winning it nine the heart of your or child, is it
like
six?
Something about like something? Loving your kid.
I don't know. I just know the author, and she's amazing. I love the it's way true, that she writes.
Well, thank you.
But I was reading it and just like remembering all the kids that year and in the homes and remembering that time that we were going through and just laughing through it mm-hmm. and crying through it. Like I just, like just for a minute, I just kind of skimmed the pages and the names are changed, but I remember those kids. I remember those times and I love it.
Yeah.
So I was reading that a little bit. And then what's the other one? Listening to? Oh.
What are you listening to?
Because I'm watching Stranger Things and it has all 80s music and I'm a huge 80s music fan and early 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
Don't catch me in my minivan riding low. But anyway, I'm on the, nice. I don't even know what is the name of that song, Up the Hill or whatever.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know the name of it, but I remember it because my cousins were like running up that hill. My cousins were like 10 years older than me. And so that's why I'm into 80s music. I'm mm-hmm. not that old, but not that that's old, but I love it. I love all the music coming off of there. It reminds me, and I'm like adding it to my Spotify. I'm like, oh, I like that song. Ooh, that's a good I remember. One. Ooh, I like that's that a good song.
One. I like that one.
So, yeah, just listening to my 80s from watching Stranger Things. We're watching it as a family, so it's been
I love
nice.
It.
Yeah,
we are too. It's like a little walk down memory lane, but also really creepy is. And messes with my sleep.
Totally.
So, love it. Gotta love it.
Well, this has been a great discussion, and we hope you guys listening in have enjoyed this discussion. We'd love to hear what you think, so send us an email. You can email us at hello@honestlyadoption.com. Of course, we mentioned Road Trip for Dads. We mentioned Oasis Community. You can find information about both of those in the show notes, and you can learn more about what we do at the Honestly Adoption Company by jumping over to honestlyadoption.com. Catch up on past podcast episodes by jumping over to honestlyadoption.com/podcast. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a resource courtesy of the Honestly Adoption Company. To learn more about us, visit www.honestlyadoption.com.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.